Country with your host Dave Woods. This is the radio show that puts country music front and center. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Welcome to this Tin Pan North 2012 special. This annual songwriting event takes place May 24th through May 26th this year in Toronto. And this year's lineup includes Victoria Banks, Ryan Laird, Jamie Warren, and Charlie Major, just to name four of those in that great lineup. I'll be joined on the show by Dan McVeigh as well as Zach Rickson. They've each got a song they're going to share with us, and we'll talk about songwriting tips, and of course cover everything going on at Tin Pan North coming up. Now it's my pleasure to welcome NSAI co-coordinator to tell us all about the big songwriting event, Dan McVeigh. Hey, Dan.
Hey there.
How are you this evening?
We're doing great.
Good to hear, and I know that you're quite busy getting this all scheduled, right? There's a lot of work behind it.
Yes, we've been planning this since, really last year and since the last one ended, but it's gotten really intense since, I'd say, February, and now it's only 4 days away.
Coming up real quick. Now, you've got a great lineup here, and I know each year it changes. You get different people, and one of the headliners is Victoria Banks. Now, when you've been on the show before, I know you told me that you sort of got to know her early on when she'd come to some NSAI meetings and the Tin Pan Norths before she had all that success. And tell us about that and sort of the early days of Victoria.
Well, I guess Victoria had just had her hit with Sarah Evans, Saints and Angels. And, I can't remember how we were first introduced, but somehow we ended up having her at our very first headliner show in 2006. And it was, she was one of the people that came out with Dean McTaggart and Tia Sillers and Mark Selby. There was, and Paul Brandt as well. I mean, that was the first year. So she was just known as a songwriter back then.
Right.
But she's come a long way as an artist. Nowadays.
Yeah, she sure has. I mean, we've all seen her herself be on the charts singing her songs as well as other artists doing so, and she won the CCMA Female Vocalist of the Year just a couple of short years ago. So it must be great to see somebody have that success, and I guess it goes to show you that other people in the community who are involved with NSAI, this could happen to them as well.
For sure. It's happened to a number of people getting publishing deals, including Zach Rickson, who you'll be talking to shortly. We've had people like Lisa McCallum, Madeline Slate be part of our shows, and who started out in our workshops years ago and have gone on to some success down in Nashville.
Now, let's talk about Tin Pan North. So the event coming up, specifically, what are some of the events that take part during the 3 days?
Well, we have it's a 3-day festival in which we have four venues where we do all the performances. Most of them are in the Toronto, downtown Toronto, but there's also events being held in Oakville at the Moonshine Cafe. Our gala show is being held at the Eaton House, and that's going to be a big show on Saturday night, next Saturday, May 26th.
Right.
And as well, we put on a music Roan North a music industry seminar on Saturday, May 26th, where songwriters could learn more about the craft of songwriting, as well as what's happening in Nashville and how to get your songs recorded down there and published and all that stuff.
Yeah, I've been to the Music Row North portion, and it's always informative, and it's interesting to go off in different rooms with the different songwriters who are part of it, and they share their experience, and they open it up for questions, and you get a chance to learn different aspects of it. And, of course, the afternoon part of the Music Row North is a chance for songwriters to have their songs played and then critiqued by the panel.
Absolutely, and you can't get better advice than from some people that have lived and breathed the music down there in Nashville and have had success on the charts, and that's what we try to provide to the writers that attend the seminar.
What are some of the improvements you've seen in general in somebody who started with the NSAI and a year or two down the road and they've written more songs? What has gotten better about what they're writing?
Better song structure. Better musical structure, musical contrast between verses and choruses. We're trying to emphasize how to reach for the high notes when you're getting into the chorus. How to do a repetition in the chorus with your hook. And we see a lot of people pick up on that once they've been to a few meetings. And you go by 6 months to a year, and you really see vast improvements in some of these people.
And I'm sure great to benefit as well is the co-writers that people meet at NSAI, because a lot of times people obviously can write great songs on their own, but sometimes great songs come about from two or three people getting together to write a song. So I'm sure that's part of what the NSAI does, is allow writers to connect and create those great songs.
Yes, a lot of the new people that come out to our meetings have only ever written by themselves, and we open up them to other writers, and they can get a new perspective on their songwriting and get new fresh ideas on writing, and whether it be lyrically or musically in composition. So it can be an advantage to people.
Now, for those listening who write their own songs and maybe feel they've got some pretty good stuff, what stage do you think, when is the time right to actually make a demo? So to either go to a studio in Toronto, or maybe they're going to do it by long distance in Nashville, and you can do stuff like that online and send the rough tape in and have a professional demo singer do it. But at what point and what kind of expense should somebody put into a demo of their song?
Someone should always get a rough demo of their song done so that it's at least clearly audible for people to review it, and it should be evaluated, they say, at least 10 times by 10 different reviewers.
Wow.
And we're not talking about family and friends. We're talking professionals, your peers. So whether it be at an NSAI meeting or through the NSAI Song Evaluation Service, Or many of the other professionals that are out there that do critique songs, it's best to get as many opinions as you can. And if you're hearing the same comments negatively or positively on your song, and negatively, then you know that you need to do some improvement. If you're hearing a lot of positive things about your song, then you might be ready to demo that song.
Right, and that's very good points there, because you don't want to just get the demo done before anybody else has listened to it, because it's hard for us to judge as the writers. We think probably everything we do is great, and it's hard sometimes to step back from that. And as you said, you don't want to get critiques from family, even though they're going to support you, but they're going to love what you do. And they're going to love what you do, and also they may not know how to critique a song the way a professional would.
Exactly, and Mom will always love your song, of course, but
true.
You really need to go out there and get someone who has no emotional ties to it, and get them to hear it and go from there.
That's a very good point. Now, I'm looking at the lineup here, and there's some other great people. Rob Crosby, I remember him as an artist back in the day. I believe one of his songs was called She's a Natural. He's got a great voice. Mark Allen Barnett, who is known as a songwriter extraordinaire. And then we've got the Jeffersons, Paul Jefferson and Lisa Brokop, a married singer-songwriter couple. Well, that's got to be exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, Lisa, of course, had that long career as a solo artist, and Paul's been known as a songwriter for years. He wrote a big hit for Aaron Tippin, which the name of the title is escaping me right now, but he had a big hit himself, and he's been a big studio musician for years and songwriter. So, and they met together and got married, and now here we are with the Jeffersons.
Isn't that great? So people have a chance to see the music they make together. We've also got, as we mentioned, Zach Rickson, who is coming on the show in a short bit from now. And, of course, some great Canadian talent, Charlie Major and Jamie Warren.
Yeah, Charlie has never been at our festival before, and he was very interested in coming out to be part of it this year. Jamie has been a part of the festival in the years past, and it's always great to welcome him back.
And what is it like when, and we've talked about this before, but the opportunity for people to go and see artists and songwriters perform their song just acoustically, so just them and the guitar, somebody might be backing them up, but it's a really raw presentation of the song, which for me, I always enjoy it that much more because it's focusing on the lyrics and the melody and, of course, the voice, but there's nothing else that's being put into it. So what is that experience like for those listening and for those performing?
Well, before we had Tin Pan North up here, we'd been going to a Tin Pan South in Nashville, and that's where I grew the love for the singer-songwriter performing their hits, and very inspiring to any songwriter out there to see the actual writer perform their own songs, and it's something I go back every year to see down in Nashville, and we hope the same thing happens up here for people who come to see Tin Pan North.
Now, you perform around town a lot in the Toronto, Mississauga, Etobicoke area, Dan, and I know sometimes it's a one-man show, sometimes you got a band with you. Who are some of your influences as a singer-songwriter, and what are some of the songs you think are those that people call either the ones I wish I had written or just a perfect song?
Well, I think anything by the Eagles from the 70s. I mean, I'm a 70s child, and they were my top band back then, as well as artists such as Elton John and Billy Joel, being a keyboard man that I am. And
right.
And then when I discovered new country music, Garth Brooks has always been one of my big favorites. Keith Urban and Brad Paisley today are just the top of the line for me. Rascal Flatts as well. So, but you know, I grew up on both country music and pop music back in the 70s, and I think that's influenced some of my music.
And there's a place where those two formats do cross, as we've seen even on the charts, artists crossing over between the two. I mean, the Eagles, of course, are very closely related to country, and Elton John songs are not necessarily country, but they're very strong lyrically and musically, so there's definitely a good combination or a good way those two can come together.
Absolutely, and they... Elton John has done a few country songs over the years.
True.
But what it's all about is how the hook meets the lyric and how they come together and become a song, and he does it so commercially well and has for so long.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned a few moments ago in the question about those perfect songs or songs you wish you had written, songs that you think, Dan, are flawless and just sort of, they just say what they're trying to say in the best way, and there's really no throwaway lines. Do any come to mind that you can think of from any genre, just those great classic perfect songs?
Now, one would probably be The River by Garth Brooks. That song really influenced me, I think, in the early 90s. A song like Desperado by the Eagles. These are songs that just made, and even take a group from the 80s, Mike and the Mechanics, The Living Years.
Oh, yeah.
A fantastic
beautiful
song, well crafted, all of them.
Beautiful song. I mean, some that come to mind for me, I'm not even sure if it's a perfectly written song, but it always gets to me, is Hotel California by the Eagles. Just what it stirs up, the mood it stirs up with the music and the lyric.
Yeah, absolutely. And I play that in my show all the time because people love that song and what it says and what it means.
Yeah, there's some mystery to it. I mean, some of it's straightforward, and there's a bit of mystery. I mean, it just... the whole song is quite magical. I'm speaking with Dan McVeigh, NSAI co-coordinator. The website is nsaitoronto.com, and there's a link there where you can follow to Tin Pan North, taking place in 2012, which is the 13th annual. There's more information there on the headliners on how to get tickets. Let's turn to one of your songs, Dan, and in fact, coincidentally, one of mine, a song you and I wrote together a few years back now, five or six, somewhere in there, could even be longer, but a song called A Little Too Lonely, with a version that you sing on, although there have been some other recordings of it. Let's talk about the song a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember when you sent me a lyric, like you said, so many years ago now,
yeah.
But it was really inspiring to me, and it was just so perfect lyrically. The hook on the end of that song is just something that's never been heard before, and I wanted to take it and record that, and I thought of a great arrangement for it that would really work, and it's got nice percussion going on and everything, and
yeah.
It's just a really amazing song.
Now, can you think of an artist and for this particular song, if you were to pitch it out there, any specific person comes to mind because of the style of it, or it would just be a general pitch?
I see it more as a female song. So I've always looked at someone like Trisha Yearwood being someone I'd want to hear record a song like that,
right?
Because it's got that feel that she's always done over the years, and it'd be great to pitch it to her.
Definitely, that would be awesome. Let's get ready to play the song. We got Zach Rickson coming up in a few moments. He's got a song to share, and also his influences, his songwriting techniques, and much more. Dan, thanks so much for being part of the show, and all the best next week as Tin Pan North kicks off.
Thanks very much for having me, and it's going to be a great festival this year.
Awesome. This is Dan McVeigh now with a song that he and I co-wrote. Dan is singing it, called A Little Too Lonely, here on this Tin Pan North special on In the Country.
Baby, this house was built for two. But lately there's no sign of you. You see how the lake forget to foam. What am I supposed to do? I can't hold it together, waiting forever. Consider this your wake-up call. I've been a little too long. A little too long, wishing you'd remember where you belong. If you don't make right what you're doing wrong, one of these days I'm gonna be a little too little too hurtful with what you don't say. These walls within, the more you're gone, how much more can my heart take? Do you care what you're missing? Baby, please listen. One of us is gonna change. I've been a little too long. You'd remember where you belong. If you don't make right what you're doing wrong, one of these days I'm gonna be a little too gone. Gonna come home late one night with a lesson to table can't change. little too lonely, a little too long, wishing you'd remember where you belong. If you don't make right what you're doing wrong, one of these days.
And that is Dan McVey with A Little Too Lonely here on this Tin Pan North special on In the Country. It's the 13th annual songwriting event taking place May 24th through May 26th. You can head online to nsaitoronto.com and click on the Tin Pan North tab, and you'll find more information about the headliners there this year, how to get tickets and all that. My thanks to Dan, who is an NSAI co-coordinator for the Toronto chapter. Always great to talk with him and to hear the great music. He's busy now, of course, getting everything lined up along with the other members of the team for the big songwriting event coming up. Now we're going to head on the line, and we're heading to Nashville now to speak with Zach Rickson. Hey, Zach.
How are you, Dave?
Hey, doing just great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks so much for the opportunity to be on the show tonight. Really appreciate it.
Ah, my pleasure. Great to have you here. I've been at your website visiting, and there's so many influences that you had that I, as a fan, let's say, and even as a songwriter, appreciated, from Lionel Cartwright to Kenny Rogers and Gordon Lightfoot. A lot of influences. Can you talk about some of those, Zach, how they shaped what you're trying to pursue in music?
Absolutely. You know, I grew up on a lot of classical music and a lot of pop radio, and I didn't really, you know, despite my parents having, you know, some Gordon Lightfoot records and some Kenny Rogers stuff. I mean, I think I knew all the words to Lucille when I was about 5 years old. You know, despite that, you know, I didn't really discover country until I was about 13 or 14. And what really did it for me was Restless Heart. Those guys, I remember the first time I ever saw a country music video, it was The Bluest Eyes in Texas by Restless
right.
Heart. It just bowled me over. So, you know, my influences range from, you know, Restless Heart on the countryside to Jackson Brown and James Taylor, who are, you know, some of my idols, all the way to people like Peter Cetera, you know, who used to sing for Chicago. And in fact, I'm still bouncing off the walls. I ran into Peter Cetera today at the airport in Nashville.
Oh, wow.
That was just awesome. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of career you try to get going at your heart, you're still a fan, and when you get to meet somebody like that, it just blew me away. He was really nice too. So,
isn't that great? Yeah, I've always liked his voice. I mean, whether it was Chicago stuff or his solo stuff, just a very unique voice, and he really got the emotion into the songs.
He certainly did, and you know that's what I like about, you know, bands like Restless Heart and people like Jackson Brown and James Taylor. It's almost a way to get to know them, you know. And
right.
I've been fortunate enough to meet both of those individuals, and they were both very, very gracious and very genuine. And honestly, it's a real risk when you meet somebody that you feel you know so well through their music.
Yeah.
You know, you're always worried that they're going to be a jerk or something, or they're going to disappoint you or be rude to you. But they were both really nice. So.
Yeah, that would kind of take away from the music you've grown to love if they kind of snubbed you.
I know. it was like when my dad met Farley Moe at once, you know.
Right.
it wasn't a good experience.
That's the thing. I mean, they say never to meet your heroes, but at the same time, you want to. So can you take us back to the first song you wrote, Zach, whether it was just for fun or maybe it was a serious effort, but was it a good experience, or did you realize you had a lot to learn about the craft?
Oh, man, the first song I wrote, I must have been 14, and it was junk. Like, it was just... was just awful. I didn't write anything, you know, that I was remotely even semi-happy with until I was about 18, and I didn't start writing seriously until about, you know, probably 14 or 15 years ago. And even now, you know, I'll listen to the stuff that I brought to Nashville the first time, you know, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like artists that go back and listen to their first records. I mean, it just makes me cringe. I don't even want to listen to it anymore. it's a continual quest for growth and progression as a writer, right?
Definitely. And you're right, you get better as you go along, which is the positive thing. Hard to look back, but at least you realize how far you've come with the writing. Now, as far as the NSAI, the Toronto chapter, of course, it's holding the Tin Pan North coming up May 24th through the 26th, which you are a part of as a headliner. To talk about the NSAI itself and how that's helped you with your songwriting and connecting with other writers.
It's, you know... I always say, you know, I owe God for the talent, I owe my parents for the music lessons, and I owe NSAI for an incredible number of opportunities that they've given me. You know, the best piece of advice I could give any new or aspiring writer, or even somebody who thinks they want to be a songwriter, or even wants to learn more about it, they need to join that organization. I mean, that organization is entirely predicated on helping you achieve what it is that you're setting out to do, and they've just had a tremendous impact on me from the critiques that were available to me to providing me with a home away from home, or, you know, honestly, to instilling a sense of faith in my abilities, you know, frankly, when I didn't have one myself. So I can't say enough about that organization and what they've done for me. And, you know, it goes all the way from Nashville up to Toronto. You know, Dan and Sean, my regional coordinators, have been absolutely fantastic, and I've just worked so hard to put this festival on, as well as many events throughout the year. So, you know, you mentioned that the Tin Pan North Festival this year. I am delighted to be one of the headliners. I'll be playing Friday night at one of the venues with some amazing artists. I'll be playing with the Jeffersons.
Nice.
And also with a buddy of mine named Joe Hash, who's a very talented writer in his own right.
Right, yep, indeed.
And then I'll be playing Saturday night at the closing gala at the Eaton House Tavern in Toronto, and really thrilled to be playing with Victoria Banks, Charlie Major, and Rob Crosby. So not only has NSAI provided me with an incredible level of support, they're also delusional enough to think that I belong on stage with those people. So if that's what they want to think, I'm happy to do the show. So
that's
really
great.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be quite an experience. And at those kind of events, of course, the singer-songwriter is up there sharing the song, just a guitar, a little accompaniment sometimes, but sharing the story behind the song, which is always great. As a fan and a writer myself, I love to hear somebody sort of talk about the inspiration, how the song came about, the little twists and turns along the way. And is that something you enjoy doing as well, Zach, to share those stories with the audience?
Absolutely, and you know, it always floors me when somebody wants to hear it. You know, it's like the first time I played a song and somebody started clapping because they recognized it. It just blew me away. And
yeah.
You know, when I come down to say Tin Pan South or things like that, I always like to hear where the stories come from. And even if it's a song I don't know, you know, like let's say I'm at a show and I'm playing with Dan, and you know, Dan's singing a song that I haven't heard before. I want to hear the story. I want to hear where it came from, because that to me is real inspiration. You know, when you've got somebody sitting there at a piano or sitting at a guitar, and they can convey that emotion, and you get to hear the story about where that song came from, that's very powerful
right.
to me and very inspiring.
Indeed it is. And I asked Dan earlier about those songs that a songwriter wished they had written, because it's like a perfect song. It says exactly what it set out to do and says it well, and the music and the lyric marry well together and the whole bit. Are there any songs that come to mind for you, Zach, that you would say are perfect songs?
Wow, that's a tough one. There's certainly songs that I wish that I had written, you know, a couple of them. I wish that I had written The Bluest Eyes in Texas by Restless Heart, for example, because that
right.
song had such a profound impact on me. But
yeah.
as far as, you know, the one song that I can listen to over and over and over again and never get tired of, it actually Feels Like Home by Randy Newman, especially the Chantal Kreviazuk version. I just,
yes.
That song just kills me, Dave. It just kills me. I just love it.
Wow. Yeah, I know her version of it, and I assume so then Randy Newman wrote that song.
He did, and I think it's been covered, I don't know, 75 times.
Wow.
And but what's interesting about that song, though, Dave, is that it's actually from kind of a rock opera, if you will, that Randy Newman wrote called Faust. And it's amazing. It's kind of like Desperado by the Eagles. When you can take a song and it stands on its own, completely out of context from the rest of the world
right.
that it's a part of. And yeah. and that's what's really always impressed me about that song. And the lyrics just slay me. To me, it's a perfect, feels like home is just a perfect blending of the melody and the lyric. And if I really had to identify one, Dave, that I really wish I'd written, it would be that one. And frankly, if I had, you know, you and I would be having this conversation on my 110-foot yacht right now.
That's right.
I wouldn't be in a $55 hotel room in Nashville talking to you on a telephone.
This is so true. There is big bucks in songwriting if you write a song like Feels Like Home. I'm going to have to go and check out those other versions, especially Randy Newman's, because I do know Chantel's version is very beautiful, but I didn't know those other stories and other songs as well, the story behind it, so I'll have to check that out. And you're right, there are certain songs like that you can listen to over and over again, and you just don't tire of them. And I've got some of those, Hotel California, Night Moves, so those are sort of some older pop, I guess you'd call them. But there's certainly other ones, but those two come to mind. Please Come to Boston by Dave Loggins. I mean, there's James Taylor, a lot of his stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, I hope you and I, one day are blessed to write one where somebody's sitting around saying, you know that song that Dave Woods wrote? That's the one I wish I wrote, you know? Or you know that song
exactly.
that Zach Rickson guy wrote? I wish I wrote that. One day, man, one day.
That's it. And that's the position you want to end up in to have tapped
exactly.
into that. Now, as far as critiques, you mentioned them, you touched on them earlier, and that's what NSAI does. It gives you critiques. How is that as far as, like, what advice would you give to somebody getting a critique as far as not letting it get to them and not making them just pack up their pencil and pen and paper and never write again if it's not a positive one?
Well, that's a great question, and it really, you know, it speaks to the duality of being a songwriter, in that, you know, we're expected to put our innermost thoughts and feelings and all the things that we've experienced or gone through or our unique observations on somebody else's life, we're expected to pour those, you know, into a 3-minute and 30-second narrative, and then we're supposed to have thick enough skin to let somebody rip it apart. It's really difficult.
Right.
But, you know, my thing is I would always recommend that somebody, you know, that they would ask for the harshest level of critique that they think their psyche can handle, you know. And when you're an NSAI member and you submit a song for a critique, you can choose what level of critique you want. And you know, the uppermost level, the harshest level, is something akin to, I'm a big boy, I can take it. And I would always check that off because, you know, this is a business. And you've got to remember that it is a business, and you want to make sure that you're putting the absolute best compositions out there that you can to increase your chances of being noticed. So what you'll find, though, is that even if you choose the absolute, you know, harshest level of critique, it's never personal, it's never judgmental, it is always, always constructive. And really, I can think of few things that have had greater impact on me and my development as a writer than the critiques. And, you know, the people who give them, they're so giving of their time, and you know, they have such an inherent level of credibility from what they've achieved already. So,
right.
Can't recommend it enough.
Yeah. That's terrific all through the NSAI. And as Dan touched on earlier, I mean, your family will love the song, and I'm sure in many cases it's a great song, but these are critiques to see if it's at the commercial level that a established artist would want to record, or even an independent artist. So they're looking at it that way. If it's songwriting for fun, then, of course, you can write as many songs as you want and enjoy them. But this is to narrow them down to make sure they're perfect before they go out further in the world. I wanted to ask you, Zach, about do you have any songs that you've got in your catalog that you think would be perfect for a known artist, somebody we would know? Do you have, like, a Kenny Chesney song or a Rascal Flatts song in your catalog that you think so anyway?
Well, you know, when we write things, and I say we, you know, to emphasize how important the co-writing process here is in Nashville, and it was something that, honestly, you know, I had to get used to, having not done a lot of it before I started coming down here. What I try to make sure to do is not to necessarily write a song for a particular artist. And the risk you take is, let's say that you write a song that would be fantastic for George Strait, and it is such in the George Strait vein, that it really precludes anybody else from it, from recording it, rather. So you get it to George Strait's people, and they pass on it, which, you know, I mean, that happens, and it happens every day. You know, probably one out of 1,000 pitches gets cut in this town, right? So imagine you've got this song that would be great for George Strait, and George Strait and his people pass on it. So, you know, so you pitch it to Kenny Chesney, and Kenny Chesney's people say, oh, man, you should play that for George Strait. You know, I try to write the absolute best song that I can at that particular moment and really let the song take itself where it's going to go. And honestly, you know, the whole pitching and determining which artist it's appropriate for, we call that casting down here. And honestly, I leave that to my publisher. I just put through the best songs I can. And, you know, he and I sort through them and decide which ones we're going to demo. And he takes care of the rest.
Awesome. I'm speaking with Zach Rickson. His website is zachrickson.com, W-R-I-X-O-N. You can hear samples of his songs there, more bio, as well as other information at the website. But before we get set to play your song here and then wrap up the show, let's talk about My Kind of Paradise, which is cut by Shane Martin and written by you, yourself, Shane, and Charlie Allen. What can you tell us about the song, Zach?
Well, this song, actually, Shane and I wrote this with Charlie in October of last year, and it was the first time that the three of us had written together. I've known Shane for a little while, and I've known Charlie for a little while, and Shane and I happen to be in town at the same time. So we all got together in a room at my publisher's office, and it really came down to, you know, what kind of mood are you in, right? And we were looking to write something that was, you know, real feel-good vibe, really breezy. And one of my big rules that I have is I try to write songs that dudes can sing to their girlfriends, right?
Like, gotcha.
That's a big part of what I do, is try to write songs that dudes can sing to their girlfriends. And so we're sitting around, and we're playing around with some chords, and we're going for this real breezy vibe, and we're trying to paint a picture. You know, the best songs take you to a place and they put you in a situation, and that's what we tried to do. And so we're fiddling around with some stuff, and then Charlie just spontaneously comes out with the first two lines of the chorus. There's a light breeze blowing our cares away, listening to the sound of the crashing waves. And we all kind of looked at each other and went, okay, yeah, let's run with that. So, I mean, we wrote the thing in, you know, probably two and a half hours, and Shane did some tweaking on the melodies, and, you know, some great stuff happening for Shane lately. You know, he's working on his next album right now down here in Nashville. He's cutting a bunch of stuff this week, and he actually placed top five nationwide in the Texaco Country Showdown this year. So it's added some visibility to the song, and this became my first commercial release this past Tuesday. Came out on iTunes.
Awesome.
Pretty excited about that. So everybody out there, you know, if you want to help a great independent artist and help some starving writers make some mechanicals along the way, head over to iTunes, pick it up.
And download the song. It's called My Kind of Paradise, which we're about to share. Zach, thanks so much for being part of the show. I really enjoyed talking with you, and all the best to Tin Pan North coming up May 24th through the 26th.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here with you tonight.
Awesome. It's been great. This is Zach Rickson and My Kind of Paradise on this Tin Pan North special on In the Country.
Baby, let's get some of that sand underneath our feet. We can't afford Hawaii or the Keys. Take a look around. We got all we need. There's a lot free. Back home, the best.
And that is Shane Martin singing My Kind of Paradise, which he co-wrote with Zach Rickson and Charlie Allen. Big thanks to Zach Rickson, my guest on this Tin Pan North special, as well as Dan McVeigh, the NSAI co-coordinator who joined us at the top of the show. Great Tin Pan North event coming up May 24th through 26th. Be sure to head to nsaitoronto.com and click on the Tin Pan North tab and find out all the information, tickets, and the headliners. I'm Dave Woods. That'll wrap up this Tin Pan North special on In the Country.